At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
I'm John Rothman, in for Drex, right here on KGO. And there is no place I would rather be than right behind this microphone with you. I do want to let you know that Pat Thurston will be here tomorrow. We'll find out about next week with Drex, we hope, shortly. But we wish Drex the best, a speedy recovery. All right, I want to juxtapose in this last hour two issues. One for the first half hour, the other for the second half hour. So I read this story, and I was deeply moved by it, and I want to see what you think. Because the question is, would you do the same thing? It's a story off the Associated Press. In early July, Betsy Davis emailed her closest friends and relatives to invite them to a two-day party. And she told them, quote, "These circumstances are unlike any party you've attended before, requiring emotional stamina, centeredness, and openness. There was only one rule, no crying in front of her. She's 41 years old. She has ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease. She held the gathering to say goodbye." That's right, suicide. "Before becoming one of the first Californians to take a lethal dose of drugs under the state's new doctor-assisted suicide law, for the terminally ill." We have such a law. If you're terminally ill with doctor-assisted help, you can commit suicide. One of the people who came, Nels Alpert, a cinematographer from New York City, said, "For me and everyone who was invited, it was very challenging to consider. But there is no question that we would be there for her. The idea to go and spend a beautiful weekend that culminates in their suicide, that is not a normal thing. Not a normal everyday occurrence. In the background of the lovely fun, smiles, and laughter that we had that weekend was the knowledge of what was coming." Davis worked out a detailed schedule for the entire weekend. So everybody knew what was happening, what was going to do, including the precise hour she planned to slip into a coma. Can you imagine? More than 30 people came to the party at a home with a wraparound porch in the picturesque Southern California mountain town of Ojai. I've spent a lot of time in Ojai. They flew in from New York, from Chicago, across California. We are told that one woman brought a cello, a man played a harmonica. There were cocktails, pizza from her favorite local joint, the screening in her room of one of her favorite movies, The Dance of Reality, based on the life of a Chilean film director. As the weekend drew to a close, her friends kissed her goodbye. They gathered for a photo and left. And Davis was wheeled out to a canopy bed on a hillside where she took a combination of morphine, phenobarbital, and chloral hydrate prescribed by her doctor. And you know what? They described the gathering as birth, not death. I want to ask you a question, and I ask it seriously. If you knew that you were going to die, would you hold such a party? She ended her life a little over a month after California law giving the option to the terminally ill went into effect. Now, I have to remind you, opponents of the law, in lobbying against it before the state legislature, argued that hastening death was morally wrong. Do you believe it's morally wrong? Yeah, of course, it puts terminally ill patients at risk, some would say, for coerced death by loved ones who want their money. And think about it, it could become a way out for people who are uninsured or fearful of high medical bills. 8080810. I know it's a philosophical question. If you are a devoted Roman Catholic, you're going to oppose it, aren't you? Unless it's you. We are told that wearing a Japanese kimono she brought on a bucket list trip she took after being diagnosed in 2013. We're told she looked out at her last sunset and took the drugs at 6:45 p.m. With her was a massage therapist and her sister by her side. And she died 4 hours later. 8080810. If this were you, would you agree to hold such a party? One last point. Her guests agreed to meet again on her birthday to scatter her ashes. 8080810. Is this a sad or a happy moment? Is this, as one friend said, what Betsy did gave her the most beautiful death that any person could ever ask for? By taking charge, she turned her departure into a work of art. So let me ask you. I want to know. You know, during the party, old friends reconnected with her. She rolled out in and out of rooms in her electric wheelchair. She talked with her guests. At one point, she even invited friends to her room to try on the clothes she had picked out for them, giving them something to remember. And we're told they modeled outfits to laughter. Guests were also invited to take a Betsy souvenir, a painting, a beauty product, or some memento. Her sister had placed sticky notes on the items explaining each one's significance. We have a law here in California that with a doctor's consent, you can, in fact, decide to end your life. It has to be done in the right way with approval and understanding that there's no hope. Do you agree or disagree with Betsy's decision? Do you agree or disagree with the law? What do you think? 8080810. That's the number right here on KGO. A terminally ill woman holds a party before ending her life. This was less than a month ago, July 24th, 2016. I'm looking at the picture, surrounded by friends and family. And you know something? She has a smile on her face. And as she put it, it was her right to die party. Good idea, bad idea. I'm asking you the question. Let's get some calls on 8080810. I want to get the traffic report in before we deal with this. I know it's a heavy topic, but what do you think?
Twitter, Facebook, online, and on the air. The next generation of KGO 810.
I'm John Rothman in for Drex right here on KGO. I want to remind you, Pat Thurston will be here tomorrow night. She'll also be working, of course, on the weekend. I'm going to join her Saturday night beginning at 8 o'clock to talk hard politics. So I will be back then. So let's get to your calls. Let's go to Alfred, calling from Emeryville. Alfred, welcome to KGO.
Thanks, John, for answering the phone. I have schizoid affective disorder and also Parkinson's.
Mm-hmm.
I'm taking 14 pills a day just to breathe in, breathe out. And I'm hoping to talk to my doctor about it. But my concern is after I commit suicide with the barbiturates and the morphine, the insurance companies don't pay out for suicide.
Mm-hmm. I'm not familiar how the new California law affects insurance payments. I don't know. Right. I'm not a lawyer, but you might want to check with your physician. Not that I would encourage anybody to do anything one way or the other, but right. it's a very good question.
Okay. Thanks, John.
My pleasure, Alfred. Thank you. And best of luck. I have a first cousin, I should say, who is also a victim of Parkinson's, and it's a dreadful, dreadful disease. You all know because Ron was very open about it, and Ron has been very lucky and took the risk of having the surgery, and you heard him talk with his doctor here, and thank God Ron keeps going. Let's go to Jennifer calling from Novato. Jennifer, welcome to KGO.
Hi, Mr. Rothman. I'm so happy you're talking about this subject. I've been waiting for it to come up on radio shows, and it's far and few between. I am so behind this that I've looked into it for years just in my own planning, and I hope everybody else hears this, that there are other organizations around the world that will treat chronic and acute conditions. You don't have to be 6 months out from a terminal illness to get a doctor's note. However, you do have to fly abroad, and I'm not going to give out the organization's name unless I'm allowed to. But they've been around for more than 25 years, and they work over in Europe and the Netherlands. And
you can give it out. I had one of their spokespeople on with me some years ago, so it's
okay.
Not a problem.
Sure, it's called Dignitas, like dignity, Dignitas, and they will take upon a psychological evaluation. It's not just you get out through the gate. Without having to show that you have sound, reasonable state of mind, lucid and rational intentions for suicide, assisted suicide. I'm just so happy that it exists, and I hope to see with the way technology and drug manufacturers are happening to help us live longer, that this is a huge quagmire. Living longer means with chronic conditions, and we need to address this. As for people exiting with assisted suicide and family members, some people think it's an easy way out or a cop-out. I really think it's selfish for someone to live for another family member in a chronic state of condition where they suffer just to help others feel okay about, continuing on their disease. And there's no win on this, but we are our commander-in-chief of our body, right?
Yeah, well, theoretically, and the thing is that there's a fine line that has to be preserved, and that's why in California it is doctor-assisted, and you go through a whole series, just like you do in Oregon. And I know many people in Oregon are listening to the sound of my voice and your voice. So, but thank you. It's really something we have to think about. Charles calling from Sebastopol. Charles, welcome to KGO.
Hi, John. I always appreciate the topics you bring up, but this one in particular really hits home. And in fact, the woman who just spoke pretty much speaks for me as well. Here's the reality. I mean, people are living longer, but also the cost of medical care are extreme. And unless you have really good insurance or you're working for a major company where they cover your insurance bills, for a lot of people, that would include myself, if I had terminal cancer or something else like this, it would be bankruptcy, of course, but also it'd be a horrible imposition upon anyone else that would want to care for me. And I want to have the option of deciding on my own when I'm still able to do so, when I can leave. I don't think it's a cop-out. I don't think it's violating any religious thoughts I have, at least. And, maybe it's just a time to get more modern about this. I understand in some cultures, people still harken back to an earlier time when very strict religious rules would dictate that you can't do this kind of thing. But I think we're living in a different era. I mean, here we are in the 21st century. We have to be realistic about what our expectations are. And as I've just said, the cost of medical care is so extreme, and the consequences of any kind of a disease can be so horrendous that I think it should be up to a rational person to determine.
Yeah, but, you know, there is a simple truth here, Charles, that I think is very important. And that is that this is not a vehicle for committing suicide for the sake of committing suicide.
No, and that's not what I'm getting at. What I'm getting at is when you cross a certain line, when you know you have a terminal disease and you're within a year or a few months of, you know, dying from cancer or some, you know, Parkinson's is a horrible disease. You're right. I have a friend that also had that experience. And when you know the end is coming and you have this last handful of months before the end finally comes, I want to be able to decide, excuse me, for myself and for the people around me, when I want to leave under my own free will and when I'm still able to be somewhat rational and communicate. And I don't want to be lasting for the last handful of months in some sort of agonizing, you know, hooked up to machines and waiting for that last minute to come. I think that's silly. I think it's stupid. I think we need to become more realistic about what our expectations of life really are. And we don't live in an ancient time. We don't live in a, you know, 18th century religious universe. We live in a current world where I think we have to take a much more realistic view of this. And maybe I'm being a little bit technical about this, but like I said, I think the woman who spoke before me said it really well, perhaps more eloquently than I can. But there's a lot of people out there who are taking a much closer look at this, especially people who are getting in their 60s and 70s, and that's kind of where I am. And we have to think in terms of 10, 15 years out from now, what is the reality going to be? And I want to have that choice. I understand.
And yet I understand the ethical paradox. But the people I'm hearing from now, either on the phone or people who are emailing me, are in support of this move. And, Charles, I think, you know, the ethical questions that one would discuss with a priest, a rabbi, a minister, a religious leader from any faith, those moral paradoxes are clear. Now, I want to apologize to those of you who want to talk about this, but we have another half hour. I want to set it up so when we come back, you can see the juxtaposition. This week, a man by the name of Lonnie David Franklin Jr., better known as the Grim Sleeper, a serial killer, was sentenced to death. The judge said this is not a sentence of vengeance. It's justice. We are going to vote again here in California on the death penalty in just a few months. We have now talked about the right to die. So I want to ask you about the death penalty. I want to ask you whether you are for or against the maintenance of the death penalty here in California. And I'm going to describe to you the Grim Sleeper. I'm going to describe to you Lonnie David Franklin Jr. And I'm going to ask you, is the death penalty justified? By the way, when he was sentenced to death, the families of the people he killed were sitting in the courtroom. Our ability to determine whether we should take our own lives is one thing. Do you believe the state should have the right to execute someone? When we come back, we'll pose that question. I'm going to tell you a story about the death penalty. I'm John Rothman. I'm in for Drex. You are listening to KGO, and it's time now to go to, well, of course, Lee Graham.